There are, you know, so many facets, so many different tentacles to the Tom Brady story. As I mentioned to you guys, I mean, look at any of the national shows, all of them. First Take, Get Up, whatever they are, all of the different networks, they are devoting a major portion of their time on TV to this story.
Oh, that's all it is. And they're just filling in different scenarios throughout the days, and you can't blame them.
And a part of that you might not have even thought of, but Richard Deitch did, writing for The Athletic. His article is called How Are the Networks Managing Tom Brady's Uncertain Future? Richard joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. Richard, it's Dale and Rich in Boston. Thank you for being with us.
No, I appreciate the invite, guys. Thank you.
As you point out, on any given year, the Patriots are like the hottest broadcasting commodity in the National Football League anyway. But that could change pretty dramatically this year, couldn't it?
It could. I put the Patriots in sort of the tier one group of teams that the networks have always been interested in. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, far and away, are the most viewership sort of oriented team nationally because they're polarizing. But then the Patriots fit into the next tier with the Packers and the New York teams when they're good, the Bears when they're good, and traditionally like the Steelers. You know, they're national. There's a reason why national teams appear on Fox and appear on CBS all the time, and it's because there's interest in those teams beyond local markets. What's really, really interesting this year regarding Tom Brady is that Tom Brady's decision is going to dictate so many dominoes from all of these different networks. Depending on what he does, if he stays with the Patriots remain, a really, really important team, particularly for CBS, which has more AFC games. So you'll see them lobby the NFL to get as many Patriot games as they can. If Brady leaves, then it's a free-for-all. And every network is going to want Brady games on his new team because there's so much interest. There's so much storyline. And at the end of the day, as much as winning is important to draw interest, the NFL markets its league by quarterbacks. And to have someone like Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever, on a new team is far and away the most dominant storyline of the year. So you can understand why literally every network is going to want any of those games, including Brady against a lesser team. So it's a very, very big story, obviously, for you guys in New England in terms of where he's going to play on the field. But in terms of the television angle of this, biggest story for sure heading into the April scheduling.
How far would the Patriots fall without Tom Brady as far as network interest and primetime games and things like that?
That's a good question. I talked to Fred Goodell. It was actually very nice of Fred Goodell to go on the record. A lot of these TV executives in their mansions don't like to go on the record, but yeah. give Goodell credit. In this case, he did. And he said that he thought the Patriots without Brady are really, really a fascinating team still because, one, they're going to be good. I don't think the Patriots without Tom Brady, you know, they're not going 4-12. They're still going to be, I would think, just given the talent on that team, a legit playoff team, or at least certainly a playoff contender. So his thesis was that the Patriots are going to be interesting, one, because they're still going to be good, but two, you're going to have so much tune-in early in the year in terms of, you know, who that new quarterback is, how the Patriots play without Brady. So his thought was that the Patriots would still be a really, really interesting team to have. Now, he's an NBC guy, so he gets basically the best games every week, and it's not like he would have a ton of Patriot games. The real interesting question is, how would CBS feel in a post-Brady universe? Because they have really ridden the Patriots to significant viewership over the years, particularly in the playoffs. My instinct is that the Patriots would still, in 2020, be a significantly interesting team for the networks, because I think the storyline of how the Patriots are without Brady, it might not be as interesting as how Brady does with a new team, but again, I would say it's one of the five most interesting stories of the year. So I think the networks would still want the Pats.
We're talking to Richard Deitch of The Athletic. As you point out in the piece that came out today, the NFL broadcast schedule usually gets released in mid-April. The network executives or representatives of the networks meet with a guy named Howard Katz just about the time Tom Brady begins having legitimate free agency discussions. And wherever he goes, if there is a Tom Brady against the Patriots or Tom Brady against the Patriots in Foxborough, every network's going to want that game.
That's the game of the year. I mean, unquestionably, no argument, regardless if, you know, if you get a Super Bowl matchup again, regardless of, you know, if you like Ravens versus Chiefs, Lamar Jackson versus Pat Mahomes, if Tom Brady goes to a team that plays against the Patriots, that's the game of the year for sure. If Tom Brady goes to a team where he's playing against the Patriots in Foxborough, we're looking at playoff viewership numbers for that regular season game. The closest parallel, I think, is Brett Favre leaving the Packers, playing for the Vikings, and then that first Monday Night Football game when Favre played the Packers as a member of the Vikings. At the time, I think this, if I'm wrong on my dates, I apologize, I think it's 2006, that's the most watched game in cable history at the time. ESPN drew 21 million viewers now that is 10 million more, generally speaking, than what Monday Night Football normally draws. That game has since been passed. There's a couple college football championships that have passed it. But that game at the time drew essentially an almost unheard of cable number in 2006. So my thought is that if Brady goes to another team and somehow he is scheduled to play the Patriots, every single network will lobby Howard Katz for that game, because that game to me is probably a guaranteed 30 million viewership game. Now, if they get crazy and somehow like that game ends up on Thanksgiving or like a week where really like a ton of, you know, maybe a late season game or something like that, I mean, then you start talking fantasy land in terms of television, you know, 30 to 40 million people for a regular season game, which again would just be, I mean, just crazy numbers to think about.
You talk about how the networks market the quarterbacks, which is obviously, you know, what they do to help promote their games. There's a chance, not just with Brady, but there could be a huge shuffle in quarterbacks, almost like the NBA with star players changing teams in the offseason. Is that something you think the networks would like because it's sort of a fresh look at the league, or would they prefer faces of the franchise staying where they are and the continuity of that?
That's a good question, actually. You know, I think if you ask network executives, you know, there's a part of them that does like stability. And, like, you know, there's something like sort of like, you know, Aaron Rodgers on the Packers, we guarantee we're going to get, like, national viewership interest. Tom Brady on the Patriots, we're going to get national viewership interest. But I think for some of the quarterbacks that are have not necessarily, like, have been on teams that are, like, guaranteed ratings winners, like Phillip Rivers with the Chargers, I think networks actually would be, you know, if you sort of gave them truth serum, I think they would love to see, like, Phillip Rivers go to a new team, because – you know, what that does is it just extends the sort of storyline interest nationally, and it makes whatever new team Rivers goes to a more attractive national team. You know, what all these networks ultimately want is, you know, they want better viewership than the previous year. And I would think that the quarterback shuffling, generally speaking, would add more interest to the league and thus add more viewership.
We mentioned earlier that while this is a gigantic story, obviously, for New England, if you look at all of the cable sports shows, Get Up and First Take and all of the different networks, all of them are devoting considerable time and usually at the top of the show to this same story. This has become the biggest sports story of the year, hasn't it?
By the way, is Max Kellerman still saying Brady's falling off the cliff?
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
Hey,
yeah, most likely.
Yeah, 2047. Tom Brady, this is the year he falls off the cliff. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is, you know, you guys are in the same business I'm in. Ultimately, there's content that you know is very, very easy to do when it comes to attracting audience and attracting, you know, the potential to go viral, particularly a show like Get Up or First Take. So, yeah, I mean, we have all seen just how kind of exciting, thrilling, and, you know, page views worthy the NBA free agency was last year when, you know, Durant's leaving and Kyrie's leaving and Kawhi Leonard makes his decision finally to go to the Clippers. So the NFL has never been in a position where, you know, let's be honest, the face of the league, or certainly, you know, one of the five most famous or best players in the history of the league could go to another team. I don't even think Montana, when he left the Niners for the Chiefs, I don't even think this is close. I just think Brady has a sort of established himself well beyond any player in history where he sort of represents. So just the idea that a guy would potentially leave that team is a massive story with massive implications on, you know, for multiple teams as well as the league. So none of this surprises me, but you got to remember, like, you know, having written about this for so long, and quite frankly, I should have my head examined for writing about this so long, which is another independent point. But like, you talk to enough producers of sports studio shows, and ultimately they tend to just want to do the same topics because it's safe and they know that they can get like at least sort of a certain level of viewership. Like, I don't think that's personally interesting, and it's certainly not creative. But at the end of the day, if I stuck to LeBron, Tom Brady, you know, and whatever else sort of the storyline of the day is, you're always going to at least get a base of fans because those watching, because those players are so prominent nationally. They extend far beyond local markets. So that's why you're going to see, like, at a base level, the Brady story being big. But I actually think in this one, I'm not going to kill the sports shows for this. I mean, this is – it's a massive story. We are probably in our lifetime not going to see a quarterback at this level theoretically moving from the team that he's been associated with for as long as Tom Brady has.
What do you think is the best way for him to announce where he's going to play next year? Because obviously the LeBron James decision special from years ago was a disaster and turned a lot of people against him. And I don't think Brady would ever even think of something like that. But in this day and age with social media and everything else, you know, it probably won't be an Adam Schefter tweet that breaks the news. It'll probably be Brady himself. What's the best way to do that?
It's interesting. You know, at Brady's camp, I've always found has been pretty close to the vest, which I respect. You know, a lot of agents leak for sure and teams leak, but I haven't found Brady and his group to be a leaker that much. So, no, I would not expect a Schefter or Ian Rappaport to break it. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess that Brady either breaks it on one of his social media channels, or if he does, depending on the team that he's with, maybe they all coordinate where the team comes out with a release and Brady sort of comes out with a statement. Again, there's so many people chasing this that, you know, it is possible a reporter would break it because maybe the reporter gets something from a source at a new team or a source, Brady's agent tells one team, he's staying with the Patriots. But I think if you're Brady, I am sure about this, if you're Tom Brady, you want to control this on your own, so, you know, social media channels, and I think you'd want to go, you know, on Instagram or something to that effect. That'll be an interesting one because I'm sure every person in your market, and understandably so, this is the big story for them. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest, you know, the biggest spring football story for them in maybe in their career.
Ever.
So they're all
going to
chase.
Yeah. Final question before we let you go. Do you think that an announcer makes any difference in the number of viewers who watch a game? And if not, why is Tony Romo worth $17 million a year?
It's like the question I'm getting like in my sleep at this point, but a very fair question. Viewers, no. The short answer is no announcer will bring more viewers to a game that's being broadcast. Certainly a studio person like Barkley could have an effect on the viewership, but no. Me and you could do, you know, the Chiefs, Patriots, AFC Championship, and the likelihood is we'd be getting about the same number of viewers as Nance and Romo. But here's the reason why Romo's getting paid. One, you do want to try to have the best production you can have for a broadcast because the people watching at home then start connotating your broadcast with excellence. I think Tony Romo's the best NFL analyst ever, including Madden. So there's leverage there on Romo's end. But the real factor is this. CBS and Viacom, which merged, are betting really their future on getting the NFL rights to continue with CBS. That is essentially going to be the most important business for them when it comes to their television arm, is continuing those NFL rights. And so you sign and keep Tony Romo to signal to the NFL in particular that you have the best broadcast, you are incredibly serious about the NFL, and that you want the NFL to continue with them. So Romo is making as much money for his actual performance as he is what he represents for CBS to the NFL. Then you get another competitor like ESPN throwing out there that we're going to pay big money for them. You create a market and voila, Romo and his CAA agents are buying, you know, their seventh house in Malibu.
And actually, last thing, Richard, we're keeping track of everybody's best guess as it stands right now. Will Tom Brady stay or go? It's pretty 50-50 amongst the hosts and guests and everything else that we've talked to. What side should we put you on for Brady?
Yeah, you know, normally I sort of tend to think that like people like Brady generally stay and like the organization works it out. But I just have a weird feeling that there's something about Brady that maybe he wants to prove to himself or prove to people in the Pats organization or something. I think he's going to play elsewhere.
All right.
There's something that makes me think that he's going to see what life is like on on the other side. And as weird as that will be, I don't know. I'm a big Brady guy. I think he's always the chip on his shoulder from being a sixth round pick has fueled him even to where he is today. And I think there's a part of him that's still that guy. And I think that guy wants to prove that he can win outside of New England. So I would cautiously pick.
Sure,
he's gonna leave.
I agree with you.
Right. The piece in The Athletic is called "How Are the Networks Managing Tom Brady's Uncertain Future?" Richard Deitch is the author. We sincerely appreciate you taking the time to join us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Richard.
This Brady Watch interview brought to you by Northeast Electrical. They are powered by difference. Visit needco.com.